buying condoms for other dudes, Indy told her. Do I want to know the story? Jed inquired.
Sure, it's funny, Allie answered, also tossing herself on my bed.
And it reminds me, I might need to stock up on lip smackers, Indy muttered.
Oh, for goodness sakes, I'll buy you some condoms, Daisy stated. She was now at my jewelry mirror, had it open, and was draping some necklaces around her neck. She turned to me. Can I borrow these, sugar?
I need a drink, Stella announced, before I could give approval or not to Daisy's request.
I need three, Todd declared, also throwing himself on my bed. Who's manning the cocktail shaker?
Charlene, you got some chips? Ava asked.
Did I have some chips? I was raising teenage boys. I had more chips than the Lay's factory.
Yeah. Hey.
Annette could be heard. She was on her phone, alarmingly.
I want to order some pizzas.
Yep, Charlene was alarmed.
You ready? Right. One large veggie, that's for me.
She said this last to the room before going back to her phone.
One large pepperoni, one large sausage. We're gonna need some of that cheesy bread. Two orders, and maybe a salad.
She got some looks.
Okay, no salad, and three orders of that cheesy bread.
Right.
You got my account from my number?
Right, cool. Charge it on the card on file.
But it's a new address.
Her gaze came to me.
What's the address here again?
10 voices told her the address. I'll note, none of those voices was mine. Annette strolled to the door after giving my address, stating,
Right. Thanks. Laters.
She took the phone from her ear, opened the door, and shouted,
Pizza in 30!
Right on,
Sniff shouted back. Rome had no reply.
Oh my God, I need to borrow these shoes.
Ava wandered out of my walk-in, holding my Gucci crystal-embellished sandals that I'd bought on a whim because they were fancy and I had nowhere to wear them, but they were just so hot I couldn't pass them up.
Luke would love these.
Damn, now I just had to give them to her. This was because I held the knowledge that Luke Stark liked his woman in sexy shoes. And just how he liked to work things out with those sexy shoes and their heels digging in certain areas of his flesh. And now I couldn't wear those shoes without thinking of those heels digging in Luke Stark's flesh. Shit.
Bring those to me,
Todd ordered, already twisting his body in a knot to take off his own shoes.
I'm feeling those sandals. I'm feeling born this way. I'm feeling you make me feel mighty real. I'm feeling wig number 3, dress number 17. No, I'm feeling shopping.
Todd, when he was not being a flight attendant, dad to a chow dog called Chalina, partner to Stevie, or the unofficially official rock chick wedding planner, was a drag queen called Burgundy Rose. Ava walked the Gucci's over to Todd. I felt something touch the back of my hand. I looked to my side. Jules was there.
You knew it would happen, she said quietly.
I did. I sighed.
They just love you, she continued.
They did. I sighed again. Jules smiled.
I'm on cocktails, Stella announced on her way to the door. Who wants what?
I'll help, Sadie said, following her.
Cosmo, Roxy ordered.
Surprise me,
Todd put in, bent over the side of my bed, strapping on my Gucci.
I'm in for a Cosmo, but I gotta call Eddie. Tell him he's on his own for dinner, Jet shared.
He can come over.
Annette invited Jet's husband to my house.
I'll just call and order more pizza.
Tell him to go to Lincoln's. Lee's having a team meeting. He can meet the guys there, Indy told Jet.
Tell him to tell Hank,
Roxy added. I better call Blanca and let her know she's got Alex for dinner, Jet muttered. And I better call Nick and see if he's down with watching Max and Sam for the foreseeable future, Jules said, disengaging from me. Eddie and Jet and Jules and Vance had started their broods. The rest would follow. And as evidenced with what was right then happening in my bedroom, it wouldn't slow any of them down. I went to the closet to take off my heels and put on my slippers. What could I say? The rock chicks were in the house. And as I've said, I was relatively badass. And the fact remained, I had been ticked at them. But still, the truth of it was, I wouldn't have it any other way. Chapter 8. Holding It Tight. Charlene.
When the time comes, sweetheart, you won't have to worry about condoms. That's the man's domain.
It was later that night. The rock chicks had gone. The boys were down in their space. And I'd repoofed my duvet so I could unpoof it my own damned self by lying on it to talk to Moses. Obviously, I told him about the rock chick visit. Yes, even the uncomfortable parts about it.
Great, I murmured.
Though it would be funny to find out how Lee Nightingale or Kai Mason would react to being asked to buy you condoms, he went on, sounding like he thought it was funny just to think about it. And hearing that in his voice, it got funny instead of being mortifying.
Yeah, I replied.
We're out to your girls.
His tone was entirely different when he said that.
Yeah, I whispered.
You talk me up? He teased.
I talked me down.
After I said that, I could actually feel his pissed-off vibe coming at me over the phone.
Don't worry, honey, I assured. They don't like it any more than you do, and didn't mind sharing that.
I hope so, he stated shortly.
I changed the subject. Had to talk with the boys about school.
How'd that go?
Told them to think on it. I'll give them time to do that, and we'll have another chat.
You get a sense of where they're leaning?
Didn't get that shot, seeing as the rock chicks broke into my house before we could formally end discussions.
I heard him chuckle.
But that's probably good. They tend to do better when I give them space to sort stuff out on their own, I told him.
Yeah, he said.
You have a good night with your girls? I asked.
We always do. They're good girls. For them, they're just home. For me, it's like a reunion every time they come home. My daughters, their ages, bi-weekly reunions instead of them just being with me every night.
His tone was again different, and not a good different.
Darling, I whispered. It is what it is. But what that is doesn't get better, no matter how much time goes by.
Wish it was different.
There was a silence he didn't fill before he cleared his throat.
Haven't shared that with anyone. Not a friend. Not even my mama.
Glad you felt safe sharing it with me.
Feels good to have you to share it with.
It sure did. Just like it felt good to have him to text when I was worried about what would happen about Rome at school. Then when I was thrilled with what happened about Rome. I'd never had anything like that with Leon. I'd learned early never to share a fear or a sorrow, and there weren't any triumphs worth sharing. He cataloged any weakness and had a specific skill where he'd time it just right to use them against you when he could make the most damage.
What are you thinking? Moses asked.
I was thinking that Leon used vulnerabilities against you, so I learned not to share them.
He said nothing to that. So I spoke.
I'm sorry, Moses. I get used to this. There'll come a time when I don't compare him to you.
I wasn't quiet because of that, baby. I was quiet because I was trying to get a rein on being pissed. He was such a humongous jackass, and you had to live for years with that. That didn't make it any better.
Maybe we should be a Leon-free zone, I suggested.
Why?
It messes with me, and pisses you off.
Are you gonna work through what he did to you if you don't get it out?
Good question.
Might be time to make something else clear about the us I want us to build, Charlene, he declared. And that's the fact we gotta be real. We gotta talk. We gotta share. We gotta be there to help the other work shit out, and we gotta be open to talk so we can get on working our own shit out. And here we were. Again.
This is where it gets scary because I got more shit to work out than you do, I pointed out.
If you think I got the job I got looking after the kids I see every day, and I don't take that home with me and need somewhere to unload it, you're wrong. I've been doing that job a long time, and most of the time I can handle it. Sometimes, some kids, it gets under your skin, and I need to work it out.
Who do you work it out with now? I asked curiously.
Who do you work Leon out with now? He returned. I hummed. Yeah, he agreed.
And there it was. Alone was alone in the way we'd both been alone, even having people in our lives. And it could suck for anyone.
Never had this, I said softly. Even with all my girls who would listen, I didn't want to bog them down with it. So I never had this.
Me either,
he replied. Even when I had my wife, I didn't give this to her, because she wasn't real interested. And then we had our babies and I didn't bring it home, but it didn't matter. I'd learned by then she wasn't real interested.
One could say I would not have been a big fan of the woman who cheated on Moses Richardson and broke his heart, but seriously, she was sounding like a real asshole.
Got no reply to that, Moses asked.
I'm pleading the fifth before I say anything super ugly about the mother of your children.
You know, you aren't the only one comparing, Charlene.
Oh, boy.
I don't want to make the same mistakes either, he shared.
I hadn't thought about that, but it sure made sense, and I hoped to God Moses never thought of me as a mistake.
I hear that, honey, I murmured. Now, I don't want to let you go, but I'm going to let you go, because it's getting late, and my girls haven't gone to sleep yet. I need to see where they're at. I'll call you tomorrow, and we'll set something up if we can this week. If we can't do that, I want to be on your calendar first chance I got, next Friday night. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agreed.
Take you out somewhere nice so I can see you in another pretty dress.
I could totally do that. I'll look forward to that, Moses.
Great, baby. You sleep well.
You too, darling.
Night, Charlene.
Good night, Moses. We hung up and I looked at my feet in their slippers. I still didn't know how this was happening. Me sitting on my bed in my slippers talking to a handsome man about life and our kids and our pasts and what we wanted in our futures. I just knew it was happening. And I was beginning to believe I deserved it. So I quit looking at my feet in their slippers, and I started smiling at them.
You got what on your face? Moses asked.
Purple goo.
Purple goo?
A facial. And it's getting on my phone. Can I call you back in 20?
It takes 20 minutes to wash purple goo off your face.
It was the next night. Moses and I were on the phone again. He texted me that morning to say he'd call that night after talking to the girls. I texted him back to say I'd be looking forward to that call. He then texted me with 5 options of where we could have dinner Friday night. I texted him to share I liked all 5 options, and it was his choice. He then texted me to ask if it was appropriate for a girl to have 3 drawers full of makeup and still think she needed more. I texted him back to give him the news it wasn't only appropriate, it should be encouraged. He texted to share he wasn't sure he agreed with that. It was then me, Charlene, texted him a tearing up laughing emoji. He texted back a smiley face emoji. Shit, we were emojiing. Emojiing. Now it was later, and he'd called in the middle of a facial. So I needed to call him back. It takes 20 minutes for it to work its magic, and then it takes 30 seconds to wash it off, I educated him. You called right after I brushed it on.
Just put me on speakerphone.
Oh, right. That'd be the smart way to play it.
I took the phone from my ear and put him on speakerphone. "You're on speaker," I declared. Through the speaker, I heard him chuckle. Boy, a woman could fall in love with that sound. After he quit doing that, he asked, "Have a good day?" "You ever tried hurting badasses?"
"I spend my day hurting kids who think they're badasses. Does that count?"
"I'll introduce you to Luke Stark. Then you can tell me your guess at how he reacts to me telling him to sit his ass down and write out his timesheets." Another chuckle. Yes, a woman could fall in love with that sound. Okay, would it sound too eager for me to bring it up? Damn, I was just going to bring it up. He wanted us open, real. I still tried for casual. "So, did you talk to your girls?"
"Yeah, though Judith has a study date here with her boyfriend Wednesday night. Other than that, it's father-daughter time."
I was happy for him he had that, but I found it disappointing.
"We can have phone dates," he said.
"I'll take it," I whispered.
"I'm glad, baby," he whispered back.
"And just to say, I hear you, my man, about this boy Judith is dating. Rome dates white girls. He dates some sisters, but mostly he dates white girls. Sniff, however, sees black girls. Almost exclusive. There's a white girl here and there, but I'm sensing the sister is just his type. But I got an issue with Rome when he's with a white girl, and I don't got an issue with Sniff because he sees the beauty of his sister. And I know that's messed up. It's just the way I feel."
"Yeah, and I just wanted to be happy. This kid, his name is Jackson, with an X, by the way."
"Oh, boy," I muttered.
"Yeah,"
he said.
"It's not there. To him, Judith is a pretty girl. She's his girlfriend. He's not weird with me. They're just people."
"World fucks that up when you get older," I noted.
"Right. And I don't want to be the one who fucks that up. I don't want to be the one who points it out that he's dating a black girl, and he needs to get her culture, her people, and respect it when that isn't on his radar."
"It's gotta be partially on his radar, Moses, unless he's blind."
"I'm not sure it is. He's just really into her."
I couldn't even stop myself from uttering gulk. He totally got me, and that was not about the kid being white.
"I know. When she stopped being 7?
He asked. 10 years ago, I pointed out.
"Yeah," he muttered, then went on. "In the end, it doesn't matter. Unless he's hurting her, or changing her personality in ways that concern me. I just gotta let it play out."
"Yeah, you just do."
"You ever talk to the boys about them treating girls now with a mind to how they'd feel, having their own girls in their future?"
"Not yet. But I'll be leveling that Shirling lecture on them in between waiting on them getting their follow-up Shirling lecture about going to college." That got me another chuckle before he said,
"Ever think there'd be a time you'd be scheduling lectures to your teenage boys?"
"Dreamed it every day, but no, never." There was a beat of silence, then he asked,
"You wanted kids?"
"Wanted a boy. At least one. One I could make into a good man. One who'd take care of his mama."
"And then God gave you two," he remarked.
"And then God gave me two," I repeated.
"We shouldn't bitch, Moses. We're so lucky. We both got good kids." "We are, baby," he agreed. "Don't I know that? Damned lucky."
It was heavy, and it went on with the heavy as Moses shared about some of the kids at Gilliam and the obstacles they faced in their lives to get them on the right path. I took us out of the heavy when I felt he was ready by sharing about the antics of the rock chicks, the tamer ones. We were starting out. I didn't want to scare him, just to try to make him laugh. We talked and we talked and we talked some more. We even talked through me washing my face, and a whole lot longer. In fact, I was in bed, my hair twisted up, my silk scarf wrapped around it, under the covers, in the dark, after we talked out his kids, the rock chicks, movies we'd liked, books we'd read, places we'd been,
dream vacations we wanted to take, and Moses' sweet honey voice was in my ear, soothing me like a lullaby. He didn't miss it.
Gonna let you go, sweetheart.
I don't want you to let me go, I mumbled, and I really, really didn't.
And I don't want to let you go, but you sound about ready to pass out.
I was. Okay, you can let me go.
Call you tomorrow?
Okay.
Thanks for listening, baby,
he said. Thanks for talking, and also thanks for listening, I replied. He chuckled. And hearing it, that was where I wanted to end it. Night, Moses.
Night, baby.
I pressed my phone to my chest after we disconnected, and I did not even care I slept with it there, holding him close, holding his goodness to me, his promise, holding it tight.
Say what?
I asked during our phone date Thursday night. We'd had one Wednesday night, too, BT-dub.
I'm reading the Rock Chicks. I'm at the beginning, Indy and Lee.
Damn, I didn't know how I was feeling about this.
When do you come in? He queried.
The next one, Jet and Eddie.
Do you know this Kristen Ashley person who wrote them?
It's a pen name. It's really someone who used to work at Indy's bookstore.
Did she fire them?
No, but the books took off, so she writes full-time now.
Goes on book tours.
Apparently. Unless you sell a bucket load, that doesn't happen. That is, unless it's your own dime. He sounded confused.
But she has a schedule of appearances on her website.
He checked the website. That's just some woman in Phoenix Jane hired to pretend she's Kristen Ashley. Jane's not super social. She'd lose it if she had to go to a book signing.
Ah, he mumbled. Then he asked, you okay I'm reading these?
Yikes. But he could read me already. Even over the phone.
Well, they met me when, babe,
he clipped. I shut up, and not only at his tone. He'd called me babe. Not baby, not sweetheart. That was totally hot bunch. Totally. I'd heard Luke Stark call an 83-year-old woman who'd come into the office to hire the guys because she was concerned her children were slowly poisoning her. Babe. She'd blushed like a schoolgirl. And Moses was getting impatient with me being an idiot. He was into me. He called me every night. We were going out to a nice dinner the first night he was free after his girls went back to their moms. I needed to get over it. Actually, I'm pretty funny in those books, I told him. It's just that in the early ones, I was drug dealing. Poker game running funny.
This isn't going to surprise me, Charlene, he reminded me.
Right, I muttered. I went on. Have you thought, you know, if this works with us? Moses cut me off.
If it does?
Well, yeah.
You don't think it's working?
It is now.
You think it's going to quit working?
I hope not.
So how about we use the word when this works?
This was not a suggestion. It doesn't fit in my question, I explained.
What's your question?
Okay, when this works and I meet your girls, and then I got a question after that. Do you think that fits?
It could be when we're confident this is working and you meet my girls.
It was safe to say Charlene was getting irritated. My man, are you honestly telling me what to say?
I'm telling you not to say or think negatively that it might not work.
I can tell you right about now I'm thinking negative thoughts about a man telling me which word to use. I knew what he thought about that. He thought that was funny, and I knew he did because I heard him laughing. You think I'm being funny? I asked.
No, I think it's all kinds of good you got no problem telling me like it is when I'm being a jackass.
Well, humph. Yep, I humphed. But the situation warranted it.
So, what was the question you wanted to ask about when we know this is working and you meet my girls?
He prompted.
I know this girl's nerves are getting worked by her man.
Yeah,
he whispered, that honey pouring right in my ear.
Like that, her man.
I shut up, but I liked it too. Legs getting restless while I was lying on my bed liked it.
Baby, you were gonna ask me a question?
He pushed. What are you gonna tell them about the woman their daddy's dating being an ex-poker game running drug dealer? After I asked that, I held my breath. I didn't have to hold it long because Moses answered immediately.
When the time is right, which will be when they're older, I'm gonna tell them you used to run games and deal drugs.
Say what? I whispered.
By then they'll know you, Charlene. They'll know you're good for me. They'll know Rome and Sniff and what you did for them. They'll have met your friends and know how much they love you. And I don't keep anything from my girls. Not anything that big. It's disrespect. So they're too young now. But when they can get it, they'll know.
I didn't know what to think about that either.
I know my girls, baby, he went on, and when you do, you'll get that's the right way to play it.
That scares me.
I bet, he said gently. Sadly, that's the penance you have to keep paying after you do shit in your life that affected others' lives in bad ways that you regret.
Yeah, I muttered.
It'll be okay, he assured.
I hoped so.
It'll be okay, Charlene, he repeated.
I hope so, I replied.
Baby, listen to me, he urged.
I was listening, but I listened harder.
Do you think I'd be with you if I didn't think they'd see in you what I see in you? He asked.
That made sense.
No, I whispered. I wouldn't do them like that, and I wouldn't do you like that, he continued.
Okay, Moses,
so don't worry about it.
That might not be possible.
Okay, Moses, I lied. My beautiful woman is totally lying, he muttered.
Humph. Yep, even though he called me his beautiful woman, I humphed again. He chuckled again, then he got serious.
We had our bad, Charlene. It's time for our good. I'm committed to giving you that. Now what I need from you is for you to believe in it. But don't worry. I'm okay with taking that slow too. Just as long as we're moving forward.
You're annoying when you've been annoying and then you're all sweet.
Wish right now I could be a different kind of sweet, he murmured.
I shivered.
Please tell me your boys have plans tomorrow night, so I can make out in the car with you for at least an hour after I take you out to dinner, he stated.
Another shiver. They got plans, I promised.
Good, he said low.
And another shiver. It was time to change the subject. I will state, in my defense, as you read those books, that I told Ava it was a bad idea to go to Vito's house prior to her nearly flipping her SUV over onto I-25 with me in it.
I'm sorry,
he asked quietly. Perhaps I picked the wrong subject. Spoiler alert, I mumbled.
You were in an SUV that nearly flipped onto I-25?
It didn't.
You were in an SUV that nearly flipped onto I-25.
We were being chased by an, mobster. Moses fell silent. You might want to get into the frame of mind of me and all my friends as fictional characters before you get any deeper in those books, I advised.
Lee told me his wife was kidnapped 3 times. Were you ever kidnapped?
No. I said swiftly.
Did anything of yours explode?
He asked. No.
Why was there an before that no?
Just that, you know, I don't want you to get overly concerned when you read about the fact I shot someone in my living room when they broke into my house, because a bad guy didn't want Mace, Lee, Eddie, Hank, and the boys to keep doing what Mace, Lee, Eddie, Hank, and the boys were doing.
primarily trying to get him incarcerated.
Why didn't you call 911?
There wasn't time. Seeing as I had my boys with me, I had to look out for them, and he shot first.
More silence. Scary silence.
It's all good now, I said quickly.
Are there any more of them left?
He asked. More of what?
Rock chicks.
Only me.
You're not getting kidnapped and shot at on my watch.
I grinned.
Good to know.
Jesus, he muttered.
Maybe you shouldn't read those books, I suggested. Are you in danger working for Lee Nightingale now?
He asked.
Charlene,
he growled when I didn't respond immediately.
Define your concept of danger.
That got another growl, just one that didn't come with words associated with it.
It was hot.
Before my legs got restless again, I told him, Lee and the boys try to keep the action out of the office.
Try?
Sometimes they fail, I admitted.
Fucking hell,
he whispered. It isn't their fault, I defended. Obviously, they don't want bad guys to storm through the front door and shoot up the joint.
Holy fuck,
he bit off. But that hasn't happened for a while, I shared.
When this works, we might need to have a conversation about your employment.
Baby, I said softly, I love my job. I love those boys. We have protocols should anything like that happen. One such protocol being put in place when that Balducci brother invaded. I was under lock and key with the police en route, a skilled, armed man between the bad guys and me, and Lee and Luke sprinting up the steps. We have tight security. No one even gets in the building without us knowing. And if they were a threat, I'd be protected. Swear. He didn't share he was appeased by this explanation. Each one of those men would take a bullet for me. Make no mistake about that, Moses.
That I know, he replied.
I drew in breath and let it out, saying, And I'm pretty good at taking care of myself. He murmured. But can I tell you how sweet it is you're worried? I asked.
You can tell me that,
he said. I grinned.
I'm glad I didn't have to live through all that shit with you,
he noted.
I foresee a kidnapping if I did, that being me kidnapping you.
That got him another grin, as I said, Talk to any Hot Bunch member. They'll share just how much unfun they were having when it was happening.
Hot Bunch.
He hadn't gotten to that part in the books yet, obviously. The men.
And the women are the rock chicks.
Yeah.
And the rock chicks?
I didn't know what he was asking. What about them?
Did they think it was unfun?
Again. They didn't think all of it was fun, I hedged.
Say, the explosions.
He started to break it down. That there's a good example. Because we all thought it was pretty funny Tex exploded that warehouse where he'd been taken after he was kidnapped. But we didn't think it was funny at all when Stella's apartment got blown up.
Maybe we should quit talking about this.
I hear that, I said quietly. And maybe you should give those books a miss.
I'm absolutely reading those books.
Moses,
I need to know what I'm getting into.
Maybe that's a good call, I mumbled. But remember, it's been years, and I've got no ill effects after I got conked on the head when Slick and his boys shot up my poker game.
Jesus Christ,
he whispered. I couldn't help it. I grinned again. You're totally gonna love the rock chicks, I told him.
I thought I would. Not sure now if that's true.
They love me straight to their souls.
Then you're right, sweetheart. I'll love them.
And that made me grin again. We talked a lot longer, and I grinned a lot more. We ended our conversation with me lulled half asleep, with Moses's sweet voice sounding in my ear.
I fell totally asleep yet again, with my phone held to my chest. But this time it was different. This time, everything was different. Because tomorrow, for the first time in a long time, I had something amazing and beautiful and exciting to look forward to. Tomorrow, I was going to see Moses again.
Chapter 9. Reborn, Shirlene. The next night, I opened the door to my house. I stood there in my dress and heels, hair done, makeup refreshed, staring at the handsome man on my doorstep, wearing a cafe au lait button-up, a chocolate brown blazer, his eyes warming, his lips forming a sexy smile upon seeing me. And I was reborn. His warm, rich voice came at me, covering my skin, washing the last of the dust away at the same time it seeped in, through the skin, the flesh, the bone, to fill my marrow with liquid goodness.
Ready to go?
I stood there, unable to move.
Or you want to show me your place?
He asked. He was so beautiful. So beautiful. And I had it in my power to make him mine. Like I had it in my power to keep on keeping on the way I'd been keeping on and told Daisy I was not going to help Jet find her daddy. But I made my choice. Then I helped Jet find her daddy. Like I had it in my power to stay detached, stay removed, and not get involved. But I made my choice, and I became friends with Jet. I renewed my friendship with Daisy, and with time, the rest of them came along. Like I had it in my power when things were heating up on the streets with Jules being a vigilante, and I had a choice to make. And I made that choice. Then Darius and me got out of the game. Like I had it in my power when the worst that could happen happened, and Rome's and Jules both got shot. Jules nearly got dead, this happening while they were looking out for each other, and I wanted Jules' kids under my roof so I could look after them. And I made that choice, then I made it happen. I'd been experiencing the longest, slowest rebirth maybe of all time. A rebirth I had to fight for, and could have died for, but I kept at it. And I would never be at peace, not after all I'd done. But I was going to take this new life I'd chosen, and I was going to live it up.
Baby, you okay?
Moses asked. Only then did I move. I reached out a hand, grasped him by his button-down, and pulled him into my house, into me. His hands immediately came to my waist, and with my head tipped back, his lips came immediately to my mouth. I clamped a hand on the side of his head, and that was when Moses kissed me. I moved backwards, taking him with me, his lips detached. Oh, no.
Shirlene.
Close the door.
Baby.
The boys are gone.
Sweetheart.
I let his shirt go so I could clamp both of my hands on his head. Please, I whispered. Moses looked into my eyes. He then turned to shut the door. I heard the lock go. Then he turned back to me, and I again had his mouth. I took it. Lord, did I. I took from it and let him take from me. I pressed tight to his strong length, walking backwards, leading him with me, drinking from that sweet mouth, drinking deep. When I sensed my bedroom door, I shifted us. His head came up again, and he stopped us.
You sure? He whispered.
I have only been more sure of one thing in my life. Offering my boys a home, I answered. His warm brown eyes got warmer. Then they got hot. And suddenly I wasn't leading Moses Richardson anywhere. He was taking me where he wanted us to be. Which, shortly thereafter, was us falling on my bed, him on top. That was a way I did not mind in the slightest my duvet getting unpoofed. He was hot and heavy with his mouth, his tongue, but he was gentle and slow with his hands. Until I pulled his hand up to my breast, curled it around, arched into it, and when he slid his thumb over my nipple, I moaned into his mouth. This was it. This was the good stuff. Real. Open. Safe. I believed in that. And I believed I deserved to have it. I pulled at his jacket. He yanked it off and tossed it away. I tugged his shirt out of his pants, dove my hands under, and felt his smooth, warm skin. Lord. Heaven. You feel good. I whispered against his mouth when he stopped kissing me so he could nibble my lower lip. His thumb slid back over my nipple, and I whimpered a little and arched into him again. You feel better, he rumbled, slanted his head, and kissed me again. And again, then more. He made me dizzy with it, lost to it. Until it hit me, I wanted even more. I went after the buttons of his shirt. His mouth went after my neck as I undid the buttons of his shirt. That felt nice. Please tell me you brought condoms, I breathed in his ear. Another button open. I put three of them in my wallet the night after the rock chicks broke in. Ooh-wee, I smiled, and opened another button. He lifted his head to catch my smile. Then he dropped it to kiss me again. I forgot about his buttons, because his kiss was so sweet, so hot, I had to hold on or I'd get an ice cream headache at the same time I melted into my bed. And I had to get serious about that, and in doing so might have curled my nails into the flesh at his back. He instantly let my mouth go to lift up a smidge in order to undo his cuffs. Then he yanked the still half-buttoned shirt over his head. I caught sight of his wide pecs, the swells and planes that made his midriff, his flat stomach, the crease of his navel. And it was then I lost control. In other words, I attacked. He was on his back, and I'd yanked my skirt up to straddle him, but hunched over to get my mouth on that chest. His skin felt good. It tasted better. Baby, he murmured. I licked his nipple. His hand clamped on the back of my neck. Fuck, baby. He was all kinds of goodness to offer to go slow. But enough of that shit. I had nails to his abs, mouth to his neck, when I felt his fingers tug the skirt of my red, long, blouson-sleeved, cold-shouldered dress. Want this off, he murmured. I lifted up and twisted my arms behind me to get at the zip. He curled up to sitting and said, Before you dislocate a shoulder, let me. He was smiling at me. I went in and kissed that smile off his lips. The zip went down fast. The dress then went up, up. I broke my mouth from his and lifted my arms and away. His eyes fell to my body. I clasped his bristly cheeks to lift his head so I could kiss him again, but I got nowhere, except on my back with Moses on top of me. I liked the dress, he growled. Good, I pushed out, staring into his face, that face wearing an expression I'd never seen before. I saw it with my eyes, but I felt it with my lady parts. Nice, but the underwear. He went on. I had to admit, I had a thing for underwear. Lacy underwear. Did you know we'd be right here, right now? He asked, his hand smoothing over my side, starting to go in. No. If you're asking if I wore these for you, it's not even my best set. His expression shifted to another one I'd never seen before, and my lady parts rippled. Hot. Stop talking, he ordered, his hand now at my belly. Okay, I whispered. His eyes held mine as his hand went down. Good, he said softly. I nodded. His fingertips hit an edge of lace. Good, he repeated gently. Yes, baby, I answered. His fingertips slid in, more, down. Curved, the middle one gliding tight. My lips parted. I hooked my ankle around his calf and my nails definitely dug into his flesh.
I'll take that as good,
he rumbled appreciatively.
Yeah,
I panted. He kissed me. He stroked me. He built it in me. And I sucked his tongue deep when he made me explode. He was cupping my sex and nuzzling my ear when I came down holding him to me.
I'll let you want to be for our reservation, he murmured into my ear.
I'd had mine. He'd given that to me. He hadn't had his, and the evidence of that was pressed against my thigh.
Sweetheart,
he prompted against the skin at the side of my neck. He was hard, and if I said I was hungry, or if that was as far as I could go right then, he would have put his shirt on, his kick-ass blazer, helped me zip up my dress, and we'd go. Moses, I called. He lifted his head and looked down at me. Boy, this man was beautiful. I don't care if I ever eat again, I declared. Maybe that was dramatic, but a point needed to be made. I made it. A flash of white shone behind his lips as a flash of heat shot through his eyes and he dipped his head and kissed me again. We went slower. He took his time. In some far part of my mind that wasn't all about Moses, what he looked like, felt like, smelled like, sounded like, how he was making me feel, all of it was so magnificent it was hard to fathom and gorgeous to revel in. I'd realize that first orgasm was for me, but it was also so we could dial it back, and if we carried on, he could give me this. This intimacy, these moments, being right there, firm in our nows, and doing that in order to make the most of it, but also make this the best memory it could be. And he made it the best through his touch, his murmured words, his taking my bra and panties off me like he was unwrapping a package that he knew what was inside, and he wanted it so badly he wished to draw out the experience. And he showed me him, and how his strength and beauty were in every inch, and of a few particular inches there were a lot of them. And when he slid inside me, he'd given me enough kisses, he'd given me enough touches, he'd tasted enough with his tongue, he'd let me taste enough with mine. So we were right there, firm in our nows, staring into each other's eyes, wrapped around each other's bodies, as he inched inside me slowly, and I knew I'd never forget a second of it. When he'd filled me, when I saw the lazy hit his lids and the possession curl his lips, I stroked his cheeks with both my hands, lifted my head so we were so close there was nothing between our eyes but lashes, and whispered, I love my now. Only then did Moses kiss me again, as he started moving inside me, making love to me, making my now even better, and sealing the deal on Shirlene Reborn.
You want me to call the restaurant and see if they still got our table open? Or any table open? Or you want to give it up and just go to Arby's?
Had to admit, I love that his go-to was Arby's. Moses and I were lying across my bed, the fluffy folds of my dove gray duvet with just a hint of lavender were totally demolished, seeing as not only had we had sex on them, Moses had pulled them out from under us to have them kinda covering our bottom halves, and I was resting down his side, but chest to chest with him, smoothing my finger over the creases at the bridge of his nose. Up that close, they were fascinating.
Shirlene, he called quietly. I looked into his eyes. You hungry, honey? I want to leave this bed like I want someone to drill a hole in my head, but your boys,
they won't be home for hours. He grinned, rolled me, then he was chest to my chest, sweeping the tip of his thumb against the bottom edge of my lip.
Right then. I'm good right here with you for hours, sweetheart,
he murmured, watching his thumb move. I loved that. Still. I should feed you something, I offered. I wanted to make him my Coca-Cola ham with my famous mashed potatoes and my mama's flaky biscuits. I wanted Rome to grill him burgers. I wanted Sniff to knock his socks off with something he stole from Bobby Flay. I wanted everything, and I wanted it right then. I wanted it all to happen within the next few seconds. For the first time since I could remember, I could not wait for what was next up in my life. But even so, I never wanted to move from that bed. His other hand shoved in at the small of my back and started up my spine. I neglected to mention it at the time, seeing as I was occupied. But I like your room, baby. You got style. I grinned up at him. His hand at my spine became a steel arm around my back, and his thumb at my lip became a hand clamped on my neck when a pounding came at the door.
"Who's in there?"
Rome shouted. "Uh-oh," I whispered. Another pound came at the door.
"Charlene, you okay?"
Sniff shouted.
"Fuck,"
Moses whispered.
"You got 5 seconds to open this door,"
Rome yelled.
"We're armed," Sniff declared.
"Fuck," Moses whispered, gently but swiftly rolling us both up.
"One,"
Rome barked. I hit my feet and had my panties in my hand as given to me by Moses half a second later.
"Two,"
Sniff roared. I was shoving my feet in the holes when I yelled,
"It's me, I'm fine."
There was silence while I pulled my panties up. Moses handed me my bra.
"Whose truck is in the driveway?"
Rome shouted.
"Just give us a second," I called. "Us,"
Sniff thundered.
"Shit,"
Moses muttered.
"A second,"
I snapped. I put on my bra double time and saw Moses had his pants and unbuttoned shirt on when he handed me my dress. I pulled it over my head while he put his socks and shoes on. He zipped me up. I left my shoes where Moses had tossed them and stomped to the door.
"Charlene,"
Moses called urgently. I didn't listen. I marched right to the door. I did this thinking the boys would retreat to the living room, and it would be there I could ream them. And good. I hauled the door open and saw the boys standing right there. Their eyes hit me, then they shot beyond me, to Moses.
"You?"
Rome shouted.
"Motherfucker,"
Sniff shouted. They both pushed in.
"Boys,"
I yelled, reaching out and grabbing Sniff's arm. He shrugged me off as they faced off with Moses. I had their backs, but I still could see they took in the bed. The air in the room became stifling.
"You did our mom right under our roof,"
Rome bellowed. I froze, solid, suspended in time. And as I hovered there, a vision filled my mind, words on paper. Perspectives of American Military Action in Vietnam by Rome Jackson. Rome Jackson. Rome Jackson.
"Right now, you both need to cool down."
Moses' voice tumbled through the room, taking me out of my stupor.
"Your mom?"
That came from my mouth, and it sounded hoarse. Forced from me. Tortured. Rome jerked around towards me, angry. Sniff turned towards me, also angry. They both caught one look at me and stilled. Completely. Suddenly, it looked like Rome was preparing to take a step away, but he stopped himself. Though he started talking, fast.
"Not our mom. Sorry. I'm sorry. You're not our mom. You're you. Like, independent, and you got it together, and you dress real nice, and you got a great crib, and you can boss around the guys, and they don't care because you're a badass like that. And you're like your own woman, with like your own life, and you're just, like, not anyone's. You're yours. You're not anyone's mom. You're Charlene."
"Shut your mouth, boy," I whispered. He shut his mouth, but he looked sick. My Rome didn't expose anything. He looked sick. Not sick, wounded. My eyes shifted to Sniff. His torso was rocking slightly, his gaze not meeting mine, but he'd moved, standing partially in front of Rome like he was preparing to be his shield. I walked their way, slow, on bare feet. When I got to them, I lifted a hand to Sniff. He flinched when I touched his cheek, but I didn't bother myself with that. I slid my fingers back into his thick hair, curling them around his skull. Then I reached long and high to roam. I did the same with him, the pads of my fingers gliding over his short cropped hair, curving in. And when I got my hands on what was mine, I gathered it to me, hard, yanking them in, until all of our foreheads collided.
"Charlene," Sniff whispered. His hand had come to my hip, maybe to steady himself, but it stayed there, gripping tight.
I dug their heads into mine.
"You're my boys, mine."
That wasn't hoarse. It was guttural. It sounded like it came from an animal. And maybe I was an animal in that moment. A lioness.
"Charlene,"
Rome whispered, his hand coming to my hip, sliding back, pressing in. My eyeballs shifted to him.
"Don't you ever say I'm not your mama, boy, you hear me?" I demanded.
Yeah, Charlene, yeah." His words were fast, conciliatory, greedy. My eyeballs shifted to Sniff.
"You ever gonna say anything like that, Sniff?"
"No, Charlene, never, not ever."
"You sign your assignments, Sniff Jackson?" I asked.
"Well, yeah,"
he answered, like it was the stupidest question he'd ever heard. And that was all I could stand. So that was when I went down.
"Boys,"
Moses called sharply. But my boys had their hands on me. They had me. They caught me before I fell, and like every time, Sniff gave in to his big brother, and he let Rome lift me into his arms and hold me close as he walked me out of my bedroom, down the hall of our home, to our living room, where he put me on the couch next to him and gathered me in his arms. And I wept. I sobbed. I held on to my boy, until I realized something crucial was missing. I pulled my face out of his neck and saw Sniff standing close to us, hovering.
"You better get down here before she blows," Rome warned.
"Again,"
he finished. Sniff moved, burrowing in. I was still a mess, and only slightly recovering from my episode, but they were teenagers and they hadn't yet learned to read a woman right, so I was in no shape at all for Rome to announce,
"I want to make it official. I want to go to a court and get the name Roman Jackson. I'm 18 now and I can do that. I don't want anyone asking me what Rome means anymore. And I don't want anyone wondering why my name isn't the same as yours."
The holler that tore from me probably shook the windows.
"Shit,"
Rome muttered over my head.
"Too soon,"
Sniff muttered over my head too. Rome decided to pack it all in since the damage was done.
"You know, while you're in this state, Sniff wants his name changed to Julian Jackson for you. And Jules."
My body started bucking with my tears, but fortunately this time it was silent.
"No offense to you, Charlene, but you kinda can't make Charlene into a dude's name," Sniff said.
The sound of my choked laughter could be heard through my continued tears. If it happened for them, it didn't matter that it had happened for me. But like it was for me, it was going to happen for them. It was going to happen for my sons. They were going to let the old go and be reborn.
"Shit, is she ever gonna quit crying?"
Sniff asked Rome. That was when I pushed myself up and found I was sitting between them on the couch. Both of them turned to me, their arms around me, caging me in. I grabbed hold of Sniff's jaw, gave it a gentle squeeze and let it go, saying, "Son, if you curse in front of me one more time..."
"Rome cursed and you didn't give him stuff for it,"
Sniff clipped. I turned to Rome and grabbed his jaw, gave it a gentle squeeze and let it go, saying, "You need to mind that mouth, son."
"Charlene, you got a worse mouth than either of us do,"
Rome pointed out.
"I'm an adult." "We're both 18,
Sniff reminded me.
"There's worse we could do,"
Rome added. This was all true. Stymied. "When I'm not feeding you or putting a roof over your heads, you can talk however you like," I decreed. Rome shook his head, his lips twitching. Sniff rolled his eyes, his lips twitching. They totally were not going to quit cursing. Lord, my boys, My boys. Mine.
Rome's lip twitch vanished as something caught his attention. His face went hard, and he instantly announced,
"What I'd like to talk about now is what this play is doing here."
Oh, boy. I faced front to see Moses standing, looking hot.